Small details or big surfaces, tight corners or odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Are you hungry? Is that what's going on?
I'm a bit hungry.
That's so unlike you.
Do you know, it's really weird. The combination of having a 16-8 diet and not eating until 11 o'clock.
Yeah.
And then having started taking Benacol, other cholesterol, probably not lowering supplements are available maybe, because my mate said that it works, is that I'm really craving my Benacol. It's like, I'm trying to tell myself I don't want a piece of crunchy, buttery marmalade toast to break my, which we both do this 16-8, and it's why we're not even fatter than we are.
Yes.
But then Ben arrives to do the pod at 10, and there's the last hour of the fast, and my blood sugar is like in my shoes.
Between 10 and 11, if you're doing the 16-8 fast and you have dinner at 7 o'clock or 6 o'clock and finish eating by 7, between 10 and 11 is horrible.
It really
and
is.
You look at the clock and you just go, I just want a banana. And you go, nope.
And you can see the clock. So you can see it ticking around.
I can see the clock.
Yeah. That's why I go to the office. Because for the sake of a marriage, you don't want to be in the same house.
Hangry.
In the 16th hour of your starve.
Yes. And also sitting down and working together.
Yeah. Yeah. No, so I was just thinking if we had some toast now, maybe a blood sugar spike would lift us to give a bit of some sort of a performance.
Should we do one item and see, and then maybe have a toast break?
There's one in the Daily Mail about food craving. Did you see that?
Oh, I missed that. Is it today?
It was. I did it in... Because I also this morning, I appeared on my morning panel on Times Radio.
I thought you were going to say my morning poo.
What?
But I did. On my morning poo. And I just assumed it was
you had time
poo.
Before I got to panel. You had time after put and before ooh.
Yeah.
To think that's what I... Well, no. So there was a story, and it's like Molly, the producer, who I love, but she sends the story...
We all know you love Molly.
She sends the stories.
Molly, that.
Well, Molly... Anyway, Molly sent me a... Oh, that's another story we can lead to, because she sent me a text, and there I was at sort of 6 a.m. looking at my text with the stories on, and she'd clearly read the Daily Mail on her way to work, because all the stories are from the Mail, and normally they're from the Times, and they're to talk about on the panel on Times Radio, which you can get wherever you get your radio shows from, except on a natural radio. and one of them was this craving story, which I then went to look for in the Daily Mail, and it was only... so there was a tiny sort of sidebar in the Daily Mail, but... it was clearly big online, which was where Molly had got it from. And it was about a survey of most craved foods. Britain isn't mad about fish and chips. Chocolate cheddar and margarita pizza are the nation's most craved treats, according to scientists. We'll find out if they really are. And a full English isn't even in the top 10. So apparently, and it's got this picture, so scientists who quiz Brits found chocolate and cheese are the most wanted snack item from chains, such as McDonald's and KFC, also ranked high. And so it says fish and chips isn't Britain's favourite food, and even a full English doesn't make the top 20. Instead, chocolate, cheddar and margarita pizza top the list of the country's best loved treats. But it's bogus because it's the things that they crave. They were shown photos. Right.
Yes, I'm just going to say, are they stopping people on the street?
It's really weird. No, they showed them, 2,000 Britons. They showed them pictures of them. Fish and chips, a staple of British cuisine, came fourth, just ahead of spag bol. Oranges are the most craved healthy options. At the other end of the scale, this is a paragraph I love. At the other end of the scale came samphire. A salty-tasting vegetable similar to asparagus. So the Daily Mail is inhabiting a world where you don't even know what samphire is.
Well, lots of people don't. Samphire is a niche. Is it even a vegetable? Is it a... It's not a fruit,
well,
is it?
It's a seaweed. Plant. No, it's a vegetable, it's a seaweed. Yeah. But no, it's just an interesting thing because they sort of conflated the whole thing. It's what we crave. And it's talking about craving. And the thing about craving, that's not the most popular foods. It's the thing you crave. And you crave things when your blood sugar is low. I'm craving Benecol.
But what also, people crave different things at different time of day. They crave different things according to how high or low their blood sugar is at the moment. They crave... So, for example, when I'm doing 16-8 fast, I don't crave sugary things. So now I don't want a sugary thing.
No, because your hunger is too extreme.
Yeah.
And sugar will blow your head off, but like Marmite on toast.
Yes, or normally it's avocado. I find myself thinking, what really? I really want is avocado and roasted tomatoes, smoked salmon, that kind
it's
of thing.
It's so glad and that egg. We have a niche middle class audience, because me having gone and, they don't know what samphire is, and you've gone in and said, no, most people don't. I crave avocado.
That is one of the good things about the fasting diet, is that you don't sit about thinking, what I really want is a donut. Whereas if you have... sugary marmalade on toast at 8 a.m. At 11 a.m. you want...
You're talking about the sugar crash cycle, the crash. Yeah. But it's why I don't really need a coffee in the morning unless I drank the night before. And everyone knows about the booze, coffee cycle. So here's the thing that I would write about, given that we've got this research from scientists, which says about the cravings. It's talking about craving. And it says, Brits crave a sugary treat. Okay, and you've got a thing about that. The word treat, the word crave.
Ooh, I don't
the
like
column
the word
that
treat,
is actually a column in the Times is we need to change the language.
Yeah, amen to that. I'm always banging on about this and about treats. And I'm constantly banging on my blog about treats. And actually, when I do talk about treats, it does work. It is a thing, because food is so... diets are hard because food is delicious. And diets are hard because people get hungry. And hunger is a very, very nasty feeling that you want to get rid of. You have to be quite odd
but
to kind of
hunger.
Enjoy hunger.
There's hunger and there's peckishness.
There's peckishness. It's true.
And the problem is that because of the natural craving, if your blood sugar drops a bit, you want to solve that problem immediately. And unfortunately, we live in a world where you go into a supermarket and there at the counter immediately is just chocolate. And although they're slightly changing the laws a little bit. But I mean, by and large, those things are so immediately available. It's like when you're pissed and roll out of the tube. And I roll out of the tube and there's McDonald's, which I would never normally eat, but there it is. And you whack it down. And making the right food decisions is possible when you haven't eaten for 16 hours and you're in your own home and there's basically samphire bursting out of the cupboards, avocados rolling out of every drawer as you open them to put your pants on. It's kind of easy to do the right thing. But if you change the language, so you don't, because treats is so pernicious.
Treats
because
is a very pernicious
as we head
word,
into Christmas and the adverts for the chocolate everywhere, the Cadbury's are doing some promotion where they're trying to encourage people to do a secret Santa, sort of go online, I think, and buy a chocolate for someone else that gets delivered. It's everywhere. Mm. And it's like food treats are food as a sort of reward for having a reward for being alive rather than fuel to keep you alive.
Yeah.
So, and they go, people, I'm just addicted to Cadbury's caramel. Why? It's not funny to be addicted to heroin. It's not funny to be addicted to gambling or cigarettes or alcohol. Mm-hmm. Why should it be funny to be addicted?
Well, it's a very, very excellent marketing from the sugar board, isn't it? And the greatest trick that the sugar industry ever pulled was to rebrand sugar as energy. What?
You do this half-assed quotation of The Usual Suspects.
Yeah.
Every time you talk about anything now, which is literally, any subject comes up and you go, the greatest trick that... And there's this one thing, it's like the greatest trick that Satan pulled was persuading us that he didn't exist. Is that the end of it?
Yeah.
And you now know
the
greatest trick that Andrex ever pulled was persuading us we needed to wipe our bottoms
off. Yes, but it's
true. Well,
but it's true. The greatest trick... I always apply it to the greatest trick that social media ever pulled was to convince us all that it's important when it isn't. And the greatest trick that the sugar board ever pulled off was to rebrand sugar as energy when it's not. It's poison. So I think the treat thing is very good, because when you are on any sort of diet, even a quote unquote sort of easy diet, like a keto thing where you're just eating a lot of protein and fat, it's still a mind game. You still have to think about it quite a lot. And when you start bargaining with yourself, that's when it all sort of falls to bits. And if you rebrand food as a treat, then when you enter into the hungry / peckish / bargaining phase of your day, when you've had a shitty day and you're on this diet and everyone's been mean to you and whatever, When you start bargaining with yourself, then you will say, it is a treat and I deserve it because...
So should I... Is the time right in the... Probably this is going to be my last column of November, the last column before Advent, to give Times readers a good ticking off
about... For calling things treat. Listen, I see it as a public service because when I stop thinking about food and alcohol as a treat, then it changes everything in your mind. And I think it's a really important kind of pivot. And it is a brainwashing that we have all kind of willingly taken part in, that certain food is a treat. And all those diets, they have, you know, cheat day, treat day, what, you know, this is your treat.
The notion of the 5-2, where starve on the 2 days and the other days, eat whatever you want.
Right,
because
exactly.
You're a fucking moron and you can't make any correct food choices.
It's still disordered eating, isn't it? I mean, I think 5-2 works very, very well for some people, and I would never knock it, and I would never knock any kind of fasting thing because it's very good for you.
But do you think in our unfed state we're going to be able in the next half an hour to talk about anything apart from food?
I am dribbling. I am sort of dribbling.
Is the news that we're putting out here is apologies in advance if this podcast is shit. It's because we really want a Big Mac.
If you say good morning before checking your phone, it's love, says the Daily Mail.
Right, fine.
Red roses and expensive jewellery are no longer the hallmarks of love, writes Connor Stringer in the Daily Mail a couple of days ago.
But why? Why? Why does Connor Stringer write that? Tell me why. There must be a survey.
Oh, yes. According to... which high street hot drink chain do you think this survey comes from?
High street hot drink chain. So you said high street hot drink and I was thinking Horlicks. But wouldn't it be amazing if instead of coffee on every street it was Horlicks? If that had been the thing.
What is Horlicks?
It's like a malted milk addition. It's
nice?
Non-chocolate. I think
Ben,
it is
nice?
Horlicks.
Ben thinks it's nice.
Yeah, it's out there in Stratford. He couldn't get enough of that. He grew up on that. He was weaned on it.
Do you make Horlicks with milk or with hot water?
Milk.
It's malty.
It tastes a bit caramelly. It's good. Ovaltine for old people. Horlicks.
Fuck. What do you mean? So Ovaltine's the really dark brown one, isn't it? And it's got a bit of chocolate, I think.
It's the orange pot.
And Horlicks was, I had it went through a brief phase when I was sort of 10 or 11 and really thinking that was delicious. But wouldn't it be funny if, anyway, instead of, because obviously it isn't Horlicks that has sponsored this, but if maybe if instead of coffee, Horlicks and Ovaltine and everyone we went around with a big sort of pint pot of hot Horlicks. Do you still drink it now, Ben?
Yeah, winter time, but now.
Mm. Oh, Ben, you're so sweet.
You're so sweet.
Yeah. After dinner, 9 o'clock, nice Horlicks.
Okie dokie, so it's a poll for Costa Coffee.
The new signals of love. And is the main one buying your husband some piss-ass coffee in a pot with a stupid 1,000-calorie chocolate muffin?
No, our coffee actually doesn't feature at all. No. Do you want to have a...
But then nobody will talk about Costa Coffee repeatedly for no reason on a radio show.
But they will repeatedly mention it in the Daily Mail.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I'm being ironic.
Okay, so do you want to have a guess at the other signs of devotion in the modern age, other than...
This is a survey where Costa have asked people what they think.
One second. Bloody blah. Sorry.
Airtime. Dead air. Dead air.
Shut up.
Radio hates dead air.
Shut up.
Should have prepared this
Romance in the modern age. Romance in the modern age means everything...
Let the record show that my wife gave me the death stare.
Fucking
get on with it.
When you listen back to this, you're just going to be going, this shouldn't interrupt you so much. Shut the fuck up. Okay. Romance in the modern age means everything from saying good morning before looking at your phone to checking in with your partner's feelings, a poll has found. So it's just like other things other than like chocolate flowers that are romantic. Have a guess at the other signs of devotion in the modern age.
Well, as you said, there's this one about saying good morning before checking your phone.
Yep.
But I quite often wake up and you're already on your phone.
Because you're asleep, snoring your head off.
I don't store. And you're just Googling how to kill my husband.
Yes. What do you mean?
Signals in the modern age. Things that...
Actually, coffee is mentioned.
Is it? Yes, of course it is. And what is it?
Having coffee and cake, I think.
Yeah.
I think Costa employees were paid to say that, perhaps.
I don't know. Tell me, because I can't think. I mean, the column you're going to say, obviously, is it's not these. Here are the real things. And you go through we go through our whole rigmarole about, for you, it's acts of whatever. So filling up the car and stuff like that.
Yes. Not... God, they missed that one out. Filling... Just not bringing back the car. Just... empty of petrol. Driving my little
car. I don't drive
car
your car, I drive my car.
It's true.
It doesn't have petrol in because I'm not raping the planet.
I feel in my mind like you and everybody else is desperate to drive my car.
So when you use my car
so
and you put the seatbelt... Sorry, I interrupted.
No, I don't put the seatbelt...
I'm going to hate myself again.
I don't do anything with the seatbelt and I don't yam the seat forward. I make sure when I get out of your stupid giant car to put the seat all the way back so that you don't... I didn't do it maybe once or twice. My little blue car, the seat is jammed up next to the steering wheel because it's my freaking car.
What?
Not doing this stupid story anymore.
No, do it. Come on, what are the things? Tell me the things that you would do if you love me.
I do love you. So these are the things that we do. Okay, asking if your partner is okay. I ask you if you're okay too much and you make you feel annoyed.
Is this in order?
I think it's random. I don't think it's in order.
Asking your partner if they're okay. Are you okay? It's my least favourite thing that you do.
I know.
You okay?
You okay?
You okay?
I think saying I love you daily is... I think I think that just make diminish.
You sometimes say it. Yesterday, you cuddled up to me in bed, and I was sort of from behind, and you went, "I love you."
No, I said, "I do love you."
I said, "I do love you." Because you'd be thinking all night, "Do I know? I fucking hate him." And then you've gone to sleep and woken up, like, "Oh, well, I do love you."
No, because I know that I give the impression often of like not loving you at all. So
or even being capable of love.
I do love you. No, I love lots. I love my car. I love my phone.
Don't say then that. I do love you. I also love my car and having a poo when I'm really bursting.
Saying they look nice. I tell you, I always tell you look nice.
Not really.
No, I do. I
you
do.
You used
did.
To.
No,
you,
I did.
No.
You just don't hear it.
No, you used to. Whenever I put a shirt on, you go, hello. You used to do. When this is 10, 12 years
ago. Whenever you come downstairs in a suit or like last night when we went to parents' evening, I said, you look nice.
Did you?
Yes. You just don't hear it because it's never enough for you. Go on, do your sneeze.
I'm allergic to hypocrisy. Sorry.
Holding hands, you don't like holding hands.
What do you mean?
You don't like...
I don't like holding hands in tourist or romantic locations, okay?
Very specific.
I don't like holding hands in Rome, you know? I don't like holding hands in a museum. I don't like holding hands, like, on the Regent's Canal towpath.
Right.
But, like...
Maybe you should give me a list.
I'm trying to think when I do like holding hands.
You don't ever like holding hands.
No, it's
never
true,
going to bed on an argument. I love going to bed on an argument. I love going to bed sort of... furious and then waking up and still sulking. I'm real sulker. It's terrible. Surprise gifts, we do that sometimes. Here, I got you of this useless thing.
Do we do surprise gifts? I bought myself a new pair of Ralph Lauren joggers yesterday, and you were quite surprised, weren't you?
Utterly baffled. I'm amazed that you even knew how to do that. Or now I know that you're capable of doing these things. I'm going to leave.
No, I've literally never bought anything on Amazon in my entire life, and then or anything from any kind.
But you buy sort of weird sprockets.
The amazing thing on Amazon is that when the sort of the dishwasher, the clip that holds the dishwasher knife and fork container to the bottom drawer goes. In the old days, you had to get a new dishwasher.
Yeah.
New house, just move. You can go on online and just literally Google the clip that holds, you know, Bosch fork handle holder to dishwasher, and it goes bing, and it arrives, and it's $1.99, and you mend your dishwasher.
But it sends you a bag of 400. Is the only problem?
No, I have got 400. So if anybody does need their dishwasher mended, no. So, but I bought myself that was a little gift to myself. What little gifts do you buy me? Sometimes you buy like tinned anchovies, the nice ones, or tis.
Yeah,
that
exactly.
makes me happy.
I buy you.
Oh, when you get tiramisu salata.
I get you the nice tiramisu salata.
The nice tiramisu salata that gets delivered on Wednesdays. Our butcher up the road, Meat NW5. Mm-hmm. There's the when I go in occasionally on a Tuesday and I forget, and I say, "Have you got any tiramisu salata?" Is it not Julia, the other Italian one goes, "Everybody know we don't have tarama till Wednesday," and I feel such a twat. I never go back.
She's not
and
my
then
friendly,
sometimes
yeah.
I come in on a Wednesday and there's actual tarama in the fridge.
I think we do. Cooking together, kind of. You're kind of.
No, that's the whole thing. You won't do it.
I actually won't cook with you
because you don't like cooking, and then I tell you don't want to do it like that. You want to do it like this, and then you do exactly that.
I do exactly what?
Tell me when I'm cooking how to do it.
If you're cooking, I can't help but kind of sous chef and like tidy up and give you a hand. But if I'm cooking, you don't do anything useful like tidy up or
but
wash
But when
up,
you're cooking, you don't tidy as you go. You
yes,
make
I do.
This terrible mess that
no,
piles
I don't.
Up. You do. So that when after the meal's finished and you can say, "Do you mind washing up?"
You're
there's actually a massive pile of shit to
you
do.
You are living in an alternate universe. Right, okay. Being told the truth even if it hurts, you're very good at that. You're very good at delivering the truth but in a nice way. Like when I had wonky teeth and I was saying, "Shall I fix my teeth or shall I not fix my teeth? I can't really be bothered. It's expensive, blah, blah, blah." You said, "I really love you. I think you're great and perfect and you shouldn't ever change your teeth for anyone else except you. But I'm just wondering how you will feel about having wonky teeth when you're like 55. And I went, fucking hell.
I went, no, you're hot anyway, and the snaggletooth is just an extra little thing, but will it be the same when you're...
Oh, yes, you said that's what you said.
I mean, I'll be long gone by then, so I don't know what the... give a fuck about your teeth.
There'll be more from Esther and me in our kitchen after a short interlude. But to find out what I wrote about in the end, why not pick up a subscription to The Times and The Sunday Times and enjoy 1 month absolutely free? Just search thetimes.co.uk/Giles Corran has no idea. I've been promised that this will take you to an amazing offer, rather than just a website created by Ben randomly containing all my broadcasting mistakes. Although I'm sure that exists somewhere, it's just going to be up to you to find it.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Oh, why don't we do my plan that I had?
Go on.
New story snap.
Oh, it's new story snap, yeah.
Should we do that?
So we've both been...
Today, there was fuck all today on Wednesday, but Monday and Tuesday there was some stuff in the papers we felt, okay? And what we did was I thought we should have a game where we go... Because we both cut out from the papers.
Because
I went
to
work and I had my own Daily Mail and my own Times, and so did you. Mm-hmm. And we both cut out stories, and I thought, let's see if we've got the same ones. Because the fact is, as this podcast, what are we? Series 9,012, episode 400. Are we just like, is it just, do we just always pick the same stories?
Yes.
My column is just the same three subjects rolled round and round and round.
It does tend to feel like that.
But the great thing is every 10 years you get a change of editor, as the Times has just had, and he doesn't necessarily notice, and you can just write all 10 years of work,
yeah, all
starts
over again.
There was like one column that John Witherow, the former editor, loved. I wrote a column about, he'd always bring it up. It's, I suspected it was the only one he'd actually read.
One he'd read, yeah.
The one about a freelance day. It was about like what it's like being... It was at the beginning of WFH, and everyone was starting to work from home. And I said, "This is what working from home is like." And I did the diary of a work from home, and he loved it. And every now and again, I felt like doing it again. And I thought, "Well, he'll notice, but Tony Gallagher won't notice, so I'll just roll it out." Anyway,
yeah, Tony's got more.
Okay,
to do.
So look, well, first of all, we'll do snap, and then we'll go back and talk about.
Okay,
who's going to go first?
Me, goblin mode.
Oh shit! Did I have goblin mode? Is about the new the,
so
the word.
So first, the snap. If you say good morning before checking your phone, it's love. Snap. You've got that one.
Have I?
Yeah.
Oh yes. Wait a minute. I can't find it. I'm too slow.
It's back in the middle.
Is it?
Yeah.
Where? All right. Sorry.
Snap.
Snap.
There we go.
Okay. Goblin mode.
Goblin
Fuck,
mode.
No, you win. I didn't. I saw goblin mode. I thought it probably is a story, but it.
4 in 5 outstanding schools are downgraded.
Snap. But wait a minute. It's my turn.
Oh, sorry.
But look, 4 in 5 are downgraded. Snap.
Snap.
Ben, you can vouch that we both had it. Okay. Don't give little ones a sip of wine, parents told.
Oh, no, we didn't get that one.
You didn't?
No.
Don't give little ones a sip of wine, parents told, okay?
Yours. Key to success, act like a woman, says Tophead.
Damn, I didn't snap it because I thought I can only write sexist things.
Yes.
And also Bob Crampton
has
written a column, a classic Bobley, yesterday about I often act like a woman, but it hasn't done me any good or something. But that's a good one. We'll talk about that. Okay, how about... Black Friday bargains cheaper if shoppers wait a little longer.
No, what would you write about that?
Well, we talk about you can tell us all about interesting shit about Black Friday.
I could do,
while
yeah.
I have a sleep. Yep.
O'Grady joins BBC rival for Christmas show.
No. Boring.
It's not boring. It's
okay.
About...
Tortoise talk proves a turtle surprise.
No, I've got that one.
Tortoises can speak.
Yeah, but
they
we
have
know
a
that.
Vocabulary.
We know that. We know that.
That's I didn't old... know that.
Yeah, it's a story.
I'm going to write my column as from the perspective of a tortoise.
Okay, fine. No? Sounding like
I hadn't. You're... I've only just noticed what an amazing headline it is. Tortoise talk proves a turtle surprise.
That's
you have to be.
Day.
You have to be from Hull. I had a really good mate at university who was from Hull.
There was another one the other
and
day. About...
Everything was turtle.
There was another one a bit like that. Someone did a headline where pasty had to rhyme with nasty. Nasty. So it was Greg's aren't allowed to sell pasties in Cornwall or something. Some weird Greg's Cornwall story. I'm not sure what it was. But the headline rhymed pasty with nasty. Dylan's letters to Sweetheart reveal that he was nearly Little Willy.
No, not snap. Did see it. Okay, my turn.
Yeah.
Burger chain penalises meat eaters.
Oh, really?
This isn't going very well. I've just noticed that penalises is an anagram of seal penis.
Robbie Williams.
That's a fucking great anagram, isn't it? Am I right there? Hold on a second. I am listening. Penis, E-A-L. Yeah, it's an absolute anagram of seal penis.
I find anagrams so
yep, boring. Penalises is an anagram of seal penis. Burger chain, seal penis if they sold it in burger. Anyway, sorry, that's really interesting.
Robbie Williams snores.
I bet he doesn't either. I've got architects overcharged us to fund his new flat. Oh, no, sorry, that was a text from you about our building work. No, that's a story. Paxman swaps quiz for wine, Botticelli's Women and Song. No. And what about, I've torn the headline off, but Cornwall tourist chief says...
Oh, he's angry with the Emmets.
So did that work as a game? Not really.
Not really. But we've got, we had a couple of similar ones.
Okay.
Is there any stood out for you?
Okay, look, Cornwall outgoing tourist chief Malcolm Bell slams tourists.
Breaking Bad, yeah. He breaks Bad and he just goes, they're really annoying and we hate them all.
Is it time to stop going anywhere?
Is it time to leave Cornwall alone? And brackets, teach him a lesson. What's interesting... is that they sort of separate tourists into three specific stratas of annoying.
Five.
Oh, is it five?
He says, yeah.
Some tourists...
Cornwall Live. He told Cornwall Live.
Yeah.
In my mind, said Malcolm Bell, who's outgoing Visit Cornwall chief executive, says, in my mind, visitors fall into five unofficial categories. One level you have friends, then you have guests, then you have tourists... Then you have bloody tourists. Then you have fucking Emmets. The challenge is to get the friends, guests and tourists who get us, then try and convert the bloody tourists, but forget the awkward people who are like, why haven't you got this and why haven't you got that? The fucking Emmets. It's about targeting the right people at the right time of year. Okay?
Yeah.
Cornwall had a deluge of tourists during the pandemic. He led to... You could just have signs up going, no fucking Emmets. No bloody tourists. Tourists, welcome.
No bloody tourists. Tourists welcome.
Yeah.
They could have those signs in shops. No Emmets. No bloody tourists.
In 2020, a banner displayed from a bridge at Bodmin on the A30 told visitors to fuck off. Whether that was from the Cornwall Tourist Board, I don't know. Bell had been among those criticising the sign. But now he says, what's the right way to be a tourist?
You're so good at this.
Yeah?
Yeah. What is the right
way? Guide to tourists. How to be a tourist.
Anywhere. How to be a tourist anywhere. Do say, don't say.
Oh, God, yeah. No, I don't like that kind of thing.
No, you don't like that. It's all a bit Style Magazine. I mean, Style Magazine is excellent. I love it, but you're not Style Magazine.
Yeah.
So, how to be a tourist just about anywhere. Anything else?
Look, Jeremy Paxman is retiring. Now, obviously, Jeremy's retiring possibly earlier than he might have done because of Parkinson's and stuff. But he's retiring and his plan, he's got three plans. I plan to join a choir, to take a postgraduate degree in Renaissance art, and finally to finish the wine appreciation course that I began a year ago.
So he wants to look at naked ladies, get very drunk, and then sing.
Oh, yes, exactly.
But so this is interesting because you very, very occasionally voice concern about what we're going to do when our children grow up and leave home.
Yeah. Which is I worry a bit about what I'm going to do this afternoon.
Well, exactly. So you worry a little bit about retirement. Is there a column in No Paxo? That's not what you would do with your retirement. This is what you do with your retirement.
Well, yes. Or there is the problem of I retired about 23 years ago.
Yeah. Join
the club, mate.
Yeah, join the club, mate. This is what retirement really looks like. It's a bit like your working from home piece.
And in the end, your joke would be quite a good punchline. You don't need to join a choir, do a wine art appreciation course, and a wine thing. What you just need to drink a bottle of wine, then stagger around the National Gallery, looking at paintings, and then just sing on the Northern Line on the way home.
Yep, sing on the bus on the way home.
It's like, how do you retire in the modern world when nobody really does anything? Jeremy's the last of a generation of people that really work very hard. Now everyone WFHs. What is retirement? What does it hold?
Who was I talking to about retiring at 55? I can't remember. Everyone wants to retire at 55 and then I can't remember who it was. But yes, retirement when nobody has a job for life. What are you laughing at?
Nothing. This is just about uneditable drivel that we're talking about. I was looking at Ben. He's just looking up at the sky. Who's that? I might retire. Oh, I just don't really do anything. Yeah, that's a thing. But this is getting to the bit where we go, have we got enough? And he goes, no. But there isn't anything else, mate. So
there really isn't anything else. Well, sometimes it's like this. Do you know what? That sometimes writing columns is like this.
This is where we come back to my wife's sort of firm conviction that the main thing about this podcast is to provide a window into column writing.
It's so important. I think that's what people are here for.
You're looking at the sort of bleakness of our souls. Of our souls rather than the bleakness of our souls. No, the interesting thing is last week I was just ghastly because I had a shocking hangover. This morning, you and I went out for dinner last night to a little place in Notting Hill that was really nice. You had two glasses of wine. I had a whiskey cocktail and then some wine. It was lovely. Everything came home, went to bed at 9:30, slept really well, got up. It's a lovely sunny morning. I'm going out to the oldie of the year lunch today in town, and Giles Brandreth, he wouldn't be short of a story or two, will be giving the address. And
is he going to be there?
Oh, yes. Giles will be there. Oh, and I will say, hello, Giles. And he'll say, hello, Giles. And we'll have that little joke, hilarious. Oh. And now, but only one of us is an old Tory. Don't know what Giles Brandreth is. And so I'm in a pretty terrific mood, and I can't think of fuck all to write a column about or say
really
on the podcast.
It's really difficult, isn't it? It's really hard.
Do you know how bad it is? Item number 9 on my running order is winter's finally turned cold. What do you think? It's 700 words on that? 900? Ooh, look, couple sue architect for going a year. This was, you know, I read this out? It was this, a couple have sued an architect for going a year over and £1 million over budget.
Do you know what their first mistake was?
Well, hiring an architect. Exactly. Yeah. Duh, is my response.
I have never met an architect. And I've said this to architects to their faces and they laugh and like, they don't deny it.
Yeah.
And I just say, architects are mad, all of them.
No, architects, it's the biggest scam ever. They have them, you know, they make them do a 7-year degree.
Yeah.
Like doctors. Doctors who can cut you open, take your heart out, swap it with a pigeon and sew it up and it still works. They do 7 years. Architect draws a picture of a house and you say, I want an extension. So they draw a little box next to it and say, that'll be £1 million. I don't know why he's rushing. It's not a thing. Architecture isn't a thing. We've got builders. You get builders.
I think it is. Okay, so here is what I think the problem is with architects, right? I think architects do that 7-year thing and they're obsessed with buildings and light and form and blah, blah, blah. Architects are fine if you are... So the Sterling Prize recently was won by my friend Mary's husband, Neil, okay? He's called Neil, he's an architect, and he built this massive, great, big extension to, like, that big library in Oxford, okay? And he was paid for by, I don't know, Oxford University, whatever it is. And it was this huge kind of amazing thing with kind of, you know, wood and steel and glass, and it was amazing, and has won this massive prize. That's what, when architects come round to your shitty house in Kentish Town, they don't look at it and think, right, how can we make this work as a family home? They think, what I really want to be doing is making some huge wooden and glass thing in Oxford. Why am I in this shitty little house? And they go, I know what we can do. We can turn the top into a helipad and turn this round. I mean, the architects we've had round here to do sort of quite basic things come back and say, yeah, well, what you need to do is basically raise the whole house to the ground and build a new one.
Buy a big space in Brazil. And yes. I'll build you a guinea pig ranch.
Exactly.
And then I'll get my name in the paper.
Or they
all just want to get the next job.
They do.
When I moved into this house, it had been lived in by an architect, a major architect, one of the, you know, in a famous partnership. He was one of the guys in it. He sold his house to move to Hampstead and ruined that. when I moved into it, I have spent the 15, we've still got building work going on. I spent 15 years trying to turn this back into a home from the fuckhole that the architect had turned it into before. And when I learned that, he's a lovely man.
He sort of tried to turn it into like a boat.
He took all the cornicing out and the Victorian fireplaces, all the chimney flues, everything out. And then he opened up all the doors so you could see the stairs. So when you sat in the dining room, you could see people going up and down the stairs.
Yeah.
Terrible feng shui.
And you said, listen, if you want to live in
our kitchen patio doors are going out of the thing. That was just a single glass window with a really, really narrow door that you couldn't carry a tray through.
Yeah.
So you couldn't get out into the garden and have some breakfast. And he did all these sort of crazy, crazy things. And then his company got awarded the Olympic Village for London 2012. And I got a whole column out of what I suspected it was going to be like. All these athletes are going to be having to go sideways through doors because it's all too small. And everything's going to be really, really dark and nothing's going to open.
Yeah. The house was an absolute... If you want to live in a modernist box, buy a modernist box.
In terms of clickbait, architects are all charlatans.
Yeah.
It's a fucking great column.
That's a great column.
They don't read the fucking Times. They all read The Guardian with their little sort of
funny spectacles.
With their little frames and their little pencil, their little rotating pencils and their huge sheets of paper. I'm going to draw a little sketch of a thing here. Look, I'm really good at sketching. Here's the little trees. I'm going to build a model of it now with little Lego people everywhere. And then there's going to be little... And it'll be in the future, so everything will be powered by parsley. And there's a fucking nobody... I just want a fucking front door, you wanker. And I want a roof. And I want it to be warm in the winter and cool in the summer. We're going to box the whole thing with glass because we forgot about global warming, and now you're all going to boil to death in the houses that architects have been building for the last 30 years.
I
want to have the dustbins to be in a part of the house where you can't see them.
Yeah, and I want a laundry, please.
Yeah.
And by the way, we own things and shoes and they need to be put somewhere.
Yeah, exactly. Absolutely.
Yeah,
I don't want to have the fridge in a cubbyhole by the front door a mile from the cooker. And
I don't want to slide going down. Actually, maybe I do.
What? Probably do want to slide. Anyway, so architects are all users. That's really good clickbait.
That's great.
But also, you know, stop this building madness.
Yeah.
Why can't people just move into in the old? This house is 150 odd years old. For the first 120 years of its life, people just moved in. Went, this is nice.
It didn't change the wallpaper.
Swept up
or do
a
anything.
Bit. Didn't do anything. Didn't do anything at all.
Yeah.
Nice. There's a burnt wood left in the grate.
They've left some burnt wood and some wallpaper.
People used to move into a house and be glad to find a sandwich in the fridge.
Yeah.
They could just carry on where the old guys left off. Now it's like strip it down. Even in shitty Kentish town.
Although when I moved in here, when I sort of arrived with all of my things without really asking.
Don't tell them again about how I kept a lawnmower in the larder or whatever it was.
No, in the kitchen. The kitchen was the worst. The kitchen was a disaster. And I went to open it because I was looking for something. And I went to open a couple and you said, don't open that. And I went, why not? And you said, I think there's a fridge in there. And I don't know if it's on or off. And I think there might be something in there. Just don't open that door. Do you remember that?
No.
And you kept a lawnmower in the kitchen.
Because nowhere else for it. Because of the fucking architect. Because the architect had built the kitchen out and got rid of the garden shed. So what else do you do except keep your lawnmower in the
kitchen?
Your compost heap in the bathroom.
Now I know you as I do. It all makes perfect sense. I love that idea. Down with architects.
Down with architects.
Yeah, brilliant. I think we're done.
You've been listening to Giles Corran Has No Idea with me, Giles Corran.
And me, Esther Walker.
It's a Wireless Studios production for The Times, produced by Ben Mitchell. You can listen to us on the Times Radio app or download from wherever you get your podcasts.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Manveen Rana from The Story, a daily news podcast from The Times. Join me and my co-host, Luke Jones, for a deep dive into the big stories and investigations. Plus, each month, William Hague hosts an agenda-setting interview with a key newsmaker or big thinker. That's The Story, The Times' daily podcast that brings you one remarkable story told in depth. Listen every weekday on the Times Radio app or wherever you get your podcasts.